CliffCentral.com.
Yes, it is time on a Thursday morning. Time for you and me and Pumi Mashiko to do all of the things that we do on a Thursday morning that gets your day started and gets everything off to a great start. I think that's the same thing, isn't it? I think it is. Here she is, Pumi Mashiko. Hello, Pums.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Shame, poor Pumi. She's arrived to suffering, great suffering. She arrived at the studio and Simpiwe has apparently turned the aircon right the way down, so it's freezing. She also...
It's freezing.
She also can't find any coffee anywhere. Poor Pumi. I mean, I feel terrible for you. You go all the way into the studio because you had to get dressed in the dark at home. And you're like, oh, well.
I even went to the McDonald's to see if I could get like a cup of coffee, right? Mm-hmm. The McDonald's only opens at 6. Oh, like what?
You poor woman. It's like
I thought the McDonald's, this used to be a 24-hour McDonald's.
I don't know. We had this discussion the other day, and maybe Simpiwe knows something about this, but I think a lot of the places that used to be 24/7 are now not anymore since COVID.
This is what I realized this morning. I was like, oh, so it must be because of COVID, then they just rationalized.
Well,
and they now.
I think also maybe people just aren't around about like at 3 a.m. as much as they used to be. I don't know. I mean, there must be some commercial sensibility to it, right? I mean, if they could make money, they would be making money. So maybe they've looked at it and gone, oh, there's no money in this anymore. Who knows? Who knows? So, Pums, lots to get into today. I just want to play something to start the show this morning. Someone sent us a voice note, and I think this is amazing. Somebody was listening to the show some time ago, and they found a clip. I think it might have been from a burning platform, but it was all the way back in 2017, which feels like, you know, a different age.
Yo.
Uh-huh. And listen to this. Someone made a prediction, and it's all come true. I wish I could remember who this guest was, because I'd love to give them credit. But listen to this.
Hi, Ron. I'm going to listen to this podcast, the GCS podcast, from back in 2017. And who thought this would be true? Listen here.
An unstable crisis. Do you think some people will go to jail?
I really hope so. Like, I think...
we all do.
Listen, the big myth, right, is that as soon as Zuma leaves the presidency, the ANC can move on. No ways. He is going to haunt the ANC and the country for as long as it takes. Because look, let's say Zuma leaves tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. His corruption case is coming up in September. Mm-hmm. His successor is going to have to decide whether to reinstitute the prosecution. If they do that and he's found guilty, well, then the last decade has just been a big farce because we've actually had a corrupt president who used the money.
You hear that? Really? You're... So true. From back in 2017, can you believe it? They saw it coming.
So I think that's quite prescient. Whoever that guest is, we need to try and remember and get them back because maybe they've got more predictions. They're like a Nostradamus.
Huh? You must send us the date.
Then we can look it up. So if you know, if you can recognize that voice, maybe you all, you know, we've got very smart people listening. Maybe they'll remember. But
that voice also
on,
does
right?
sound like that a little sped up. It sounds like that's a little sped up. He's playing it like at 1.5. Sounds chipmunky.
Might do. Sanele says, oh, sorry, I can't resist. I was on Clifton Beach. Oh, nice. 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 That's great. Start off your day by making the rest of us, you know, grumpy and miserable about our lives. Gavin says, Pumi was stone cold last week, so signs of things to come again. Oh, you mean the temperature of the studio affected her mood? Oh, there goes my light. Ta-da! Great. Okay, well, anyway, you'll have to look at me in the dark.
I do want to say a disclaimer. I wasn't feeling too great last week. I wasn't feeling quite like myself, but
well,
we soldiered.
You know what? This is the kind of show where you can admit that, Pums, and there's no shame in admitting that you weren't feeling great, or if someone irritated you, which is equally possible.
it's, you know, I am hard to irritate.
No, that's true. But I did get quite a lot of feedback from people, including some people who said they find Rob a bit of a what was the terminology? Like a stuntman, someone who does stuff for attention. Which, hey, listen. I mean, I've been called that, so it's perfectly possible that you interpret people like.
Listen, know, we did go. We did, and Rob and I got into, and he absolutely said, "No, it's not possible." When I said our foreign direct investment percentage wise is better than the UK, and we're actually in a better position. Here we are, 1 week later, and the UK is a shit show.
Oh, it is. Have you seen what's happened to the pound? We were talking about this yesterday at the start of the show. It's unbelievable.
Listen, they got a warning from the IMF. Mm-hmm. I was reading last night when I went to bed. They got a warning from the IMF that they need to relook their budget. Yeah, that's third world country shit, right?
Yeah,
like, no, it is. The IMF telling you to like, but
you know, the guest might be Sizwe Mpofu after he released his single about Zuma. Says Justice, it might be.
I mean,
we can look it up. We have had Sizwe on. We've had everybody on. You know, Dari was telling me she's going to get Ferial Haffajee on again, who, of course, has got a new book out about Zondo. You know, we'd love to have her on. And there are a lot of other guests that we haven't spoken to in ages that we need back. In fact, today on the Burning Platform, Pumlani Majozi's back after, I think the last time he was on was in May. But you know, there's some regulars, and then they're the ones. I saw Canthan on Tuesday. He was around our offices. He's got a lot going on at the moment when he's not on the Burning Platform, which is rare now, but he's busy.
And I have had the good fortune of Mweletsi Mbeki agreeing to come on. I just have to give all the details. He's agreed in another conversation at another time for something else. And he was like, yeah, he'll come on the show.
Okay.
So
great. I just
have to get.
You know, I love Mweletsi Mbeki because he was saying stuff about the ANC before it was cool. What I mean is, you know what I mean, Pumi. I mean, he's one of the brave people, and he's ANC royalty, you know. And I mean, if you can use that terminology, you know, there's some families in that political party who you can see, like, the grandchildren get given positions and prominence, and they get talked about. And they get pushed to the front of the queue because that's how the ANC works. It's basically an elitist organization. And that family, the Mbeki family, they've earned their place. I mean, they had, you know, a president in Thabo. They had one of the great stalwarts in Govan. And Mweletsi, when he was growing up, was also, you know, and intellectually, he's really quite unassailable in terms of the positions he's taken. And he's been right almost every step of the way, much to the chagrin of other people in the ANC. So he was brave about that long before everybody else was. I have to say at this point, you know, while I'm sitting here in the dark looking, and Sanele says it's great lighting. If the power went out on Sispumi's side, Gareth, your white privilege is giving you some great lighting. You know, the ANC at the moment they've really plunged themselves. I saw that they've decided Zweli Mkhize is their preferred candidate for, I think it's deputy chairperson or secretary general or something like that, the ANC and KZN, that they are going to forgive him all of the indiscretions of, what did they call it, the digital vibes saga. Because, according to the ANC and KZN, whenever you go anywhere in KZN, you will find clinics and hospitals, which Zweli Mkhize built for our people, they say. So, you know, the ANC, again, proving that they're willing to turn a blind eye to just about any kind of nefarious activity, as long as some cadres consider it worthwhile to get someone into a position. There's absolutely no merit in that organization. They're just a disgrace. They really are a disgrace. It's unbelievable. Tracy reminds us here that there's someone else we need to get back. Jack Devnarain.
Jack!
Yes, absolutely. He reminded us all yesterday on Twitter, obviously, that the 80s series TV Shaka Zulu made over 5 billion rand and Henry Taylor didn't get a cent from it. The SABC was crooked even back then. Hmm. Thabo Pali says, I respect Mueletsi as well. His brother, on the other hand, I have a feeling he is one of the reasons you might be sitting in the dark, Gareth. Well, yes. But he was certainly not the worst reason. I mean, he was not the source of our problem. I think that there's just a, you know how the ANC takes collective responsibility for everything when there's something wrong, but you'll find people like, the Gautrain was, you know, Mbazima Shiloa. It was the Shiloa Express because it was something good. ANC didn't take collective responsibility for the African Union. Thabo took responsibility for, along with Obasanjo, making the AU. So when something good can be claimed, there's always someone to claim it. When something bad happens, and it's collective responsibility.
Look, but I do think the one thing that Thabo has come back to say, and he's said it out loud, that, you know, he was told that there would be these kind of issues, and at the time he didn't believe that it needed urgent attention, and he's, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I think this is also a great thing to be, right? A person that can say, when I look back, maybe that decision wasn't a great decision.
Absolutely.
But we're here now. And for me, it's about we're here now and how do we go forward? Because we're not going to change what happened back then.
We can't
go back and change
that. No, we can't. But by God, can we do something to fix it, please? Because this is the announcement from Eskom yesterday on ENCA. Look at this. Breaking news. This was last night. Eskom implements stage 4 power cuts indefinitely. So basically what they're saying is just get used to this. It's not going away. Stage 4 forever. That's what they're saying. And look at this headline from a couple of years ago. It says here on the 11 December 2014, okay? This is 8 years ago. This is when we started Cliff Central. Ramaphosa to oversee Eskom and SAA turnaround. Well, I mean, maybe he's just getting into it still, you know? 8 years. Maybe he's still getting his toes wet because, fuck me, is that a bad record? I mean, that's a headline from News 24, Ramaphosa to oversee Eskom and SAA turnaround 11 December 2014. How's that going for you, Cyril?
Wow, imagine that. Eskom and SAA. Mm-hmm. I thought the news headline that you were going to put up, I did not see the Stage 4 indefinitely headline, but I did see last night the headline that Pravin was unable to give what? Financials for Eskom. They're not going to be ready, he says.
Oh.
They're not going to be ready in time. Therefore, they won't be presenting them to the Parliamentary Oversight Committee. Does that sound like another entity not so long ago? SAA, right?
Which was
same
also,
thing. He came out.
Which was also under which minister? Who could it be?
Wow.
Who could it be? Bum, 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 bum. It could be only Pravin. I'll tell you what, this guy, this poison.
What is that song?
This man is so poisonous. I don't know what that song is. Believe it or not, Pravin is the boss. If he doesn't get it right, he will just say, the financial's delayed. Who could it be? There we go. Believe it or not, it's Pravin. There we go. I've made a song for him.
Modus operandi. Modus.
Oh, you want to see some? Look at this headline. Here's a headline to get your head spinning this morning. First thing, and I mean, we've got some stupid stuff to talk about this morning too. But just in case you think Pumi and I are shirking our responsibilities, we have trolled all the different websites, and here we found News 24. This is new. Many South Africans wouldn't mind a dictatorship if basic rights are guaranteed, research shows. I mean, let's just park that for a second, because that is probably one of the most damning things I've seen. You know, we often say, and we said it last week, we often say this, Pumi, I said it to Rob Herzog last week, don't we get the government we deserve? Well, if this poll, if this research that News 24 is quoting here is to be believed, then South Africans are dumb enough to deserve a dictatorship. I mean, they clearly don't know what the word means. I don't think a lot of people even know what the word democracy means, despite the fact that we were, in 1994, it was made abundantly clear to us that what was to be achieved was a democracy for the first time. Anyway, what I'm going to do is park that for a second, because look under that. Record load shedding set to ease, says Gordon. So again, I'm just going to show you the Cyril headline from 8 years ago, right? Ramaphosa to oversee Eskom SAA turnaround, that was 2014. That didn't happen because here's today's headline. Eskom implements stage four power cuts indefinitely. So clearly Cyril failed by the headlines only, right? Not my opinion or Pumi's opinion. Failure. Boom. Stamp it. Failure. And then look at Pravin here. This is just a couple of hours ago. Record load shedding set to ease, says Pravin Gordhan. And again, I'll bring this one up. Eskom implements stage four power cuts indefinitely. Both of those people, Cyril and Pravin, proven by their own words, remember, these are their own responsibilities, they are shown to come up wanting. Pathetic. Pathetic. Get over yourselves, guys. Just quit. Just quit. You're a disaster. And then we take a deep breath, Pumi, and we listen to some wise words. Are you ready? Let's do a Zen thing here. Let's clear our minds. Let's calm ourselves.
Awusa.
Awusa. Are you ready?
Okay, my ears.
Yeah. Here we go. Awusa, right?
Don't beat yourself up over past mistakes. You are going to fuck up again in the future. Quite possibly in a most spectacular fashion. Why worry about yesterday's fuck-ups? When do you have tomorrow's fuck-ups to look forward to?
Why worry about tomorrow's fuck-ups? I mean, yesterday's fuck-ups when you have tomorrow's to look forward to. Now, I think that the ANC play that before their conferences. There we go. Some wise words from our guru. We have a resident guru on the show. Did you know that?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
This is me rubbing my ears. Woosah.
It's the best feeling. All right. Let's see. Here we've got Carl and Yonder who are busy having an argument about something. Carl says, on a serious note, is there any member of the ANC that is non-puss? So Yonder then climbs in and says, Ramaphosa, your people and fishes, is failure and SAA is gone and soon Eskom is going there in the next 5 years. Remember, they're only there because Cape Town pays their bills, and soon when Cape Town has its own power, they're gone. Well, again, you know, if Cape Town is the place that is to be held up as the only success story out of the cities and the Western Cape out of the provinces, you got to admit, there's no one who's competing with them at the moment. We can't seem to get a government together in Tshwane. They've just managed to cobble one together. A very rickety one in Nelson Mandela Bay. Mpopalatsi, who I know you want to talk about a bit later on as well, in Joburg is trying desperately to cobble something together, but that's also not really working. So I think what we've learnt is that maybe these coalitions aren't as good as just voting for an opposition party and getting them in, if you look at Cape Town. But we'll talk about that, right, Pums? You've got some ideas. All right. Rebellious Ruth says, I was at an event and apparently the chap I was speaking to said Eskom and SAA are severely interlinked on the books and there is no one without the other. Well, funny enough, someone said to me yesterday, have you noticed that the petrol price has gone down but diesel didn't? Do you know why? Because they're using diesel to make all the power. Well, the little bit of power we have.
Wait, petrol went down?
You didn't feel it though, did you? But you'd have felt it a whole lot less if diesel was what you're filling your car with, which I am. And I'll tell you something, this diesel price is only going to go up as long as it's all that they have to burn in our power stations. So there are a lot of comments here. Justice Lesilo says, Pumi, Tabombeki quoted Pale Lehotla's article about what needs to happen to Eskom. Did you have a look at it? Do you know what that is?
No, I did not see that. No, I did not see that. But I've had a very interesting conversation with Pale about a year ago with Pale Lehotla. Fascinating. And look, the man writes, this is the thing about Stats SA, is it's a tool. It's a tool to plan, that's why they collect all this data, is it's supposed to allow us an opportunity to plan. And we know this. This is planning and implementation, two pitfalls that our government has.
Yes.
Big pitfalls.
Mandy Maestri says, I read an article last night about the banks facing an avalanche of demands from customers trying to ditch Eskom. The article was from MoneyWeb. Well, I know it doesn't look like it right now while I'm sitting in the dark, but I've bitten the bullet and I've decided I'm going to beg, borrow, and steal, but I'm going to have to put in an alternative energy source here at home. And I think anybody who can is going to, but that leaves millions and millions of South Africans at the mercy of Eskom. And you know what? As people like me and so many who are cleverer than me, who've already done this, so many of our listeners already, as they leave the Eskom system, so does their money. So this just makes it worse for Eskom. So their failure will lead to a much more precipitous failure in the short term. And you know what? This is bound to happen because people who can will make an arrangement to not have to be dependent on them. And there are lots of people who've done this and who did this years ago already. Very insightful, foresightful people who've been doing this for some time. I'm just hopping on the bandwagon a bit late. But you know what? We've got to do it, right? Got to do it.
If you can.
So Tabo also says, as Sispumi said, we need to focus on the now and how we fix this issue. We can't change the past, absolutely. But we can look back on the past and use it to inform the future and realize which people we trusted that we shouldn't trust anymore. I think that's an important lesson that we need to learn. Ricky says, before I emigrated a month ago, I went to Cape Town for a weekend. It's like a different country. It really is a different country. And then Stink Mina brings up this, which I think was funny. Gwede got booed and wanted to cry at the Kasatu rally. It made my week. Yeah, did you see Gwede getting booed, Pumi?
He wanted to cry. I don't think he wanted to cry. He wanted to cry. Never.
He said... I saw the clip on the news. He said, and I'll translate that for you. What it basically meant, because he looks like one of those, you know, those mutts that you find, especially at the SPCA, that have a terrible underbite like this. And they go, he even sounds like that. So Gwede, I'll try and translate. He said something like, this alliance is breaking. These are his words. This alliance is breaking down. It's very sad. We can't hold it together anymore. And that was all because he was being booed. So, you know, he's basically now turning his back on Kasatu because he realizes Kasatu is booing him. So it's all falling apart. Oh. Poor Gwede. Shame. What's he going to do? Go and drink?
I read an incredibly awesome article on the SmithsonianMag.com about... In SmithsonianMag.com, I read an article earlier this week about the Roman Empire and what precipitated the kind of... And it's because this guy wrote a book and it's all about what happened even before the crumbling. So what led to the crumbling of the Roman Empire. He's an American and it's on the Smithsonian. So he's obviously also making comparisons with what's happening in America right now.
Right.
But when I was reading this article... I promise you guys, I could have taken a highlighter and highlighted parts and just substituted Roman Empire or the Senate or with names from South Africa, with political parties, and it would make absolute sense. It would be the exact same thing.
Please send me that article. Look, it sounds...
I actually don't know why I didn't, because I did.
You
were one of the people that I was going to send it to. It's really, really cool. It's really cool. And this book, it made me want to get the book, which is also what a great article does about it. That's a bit of a book review.
Sounds amazing. Tracy says, isn't she lucky? She's off to the Galagadi on Saturday, looking forward to photographing wildlife and birds and not births for a few days. I love what I do, but a break is often needed. Oh, yes.
I hope you get clear skies and you can photograph some of those stars too, Tracy.
Mandy says, this is interesting. I hear you, and I did bite that bullet a while ago. That's the solar bullet. The problem is they will find a way to fuck you over even more, says Mandy. With the increase in load shedding, the batteries don't get a chance to charge. So you're back to square one. I'm seriously looking into a solar solution right now. Oh, okay. She just had batteries, but not solar. But City Power wants to charge you a service fee for having a solar solution. They want to charge you for the sun and for infrastructure that they're not responsible for. Don't let them. If they come to your door or they come to your gate and they say, huh, you're putting in solar, huh? You owe us some money. Take out a gun and say to them, if you don't get off my property now, I will shoot you dead, and see how quickly they go away. That's what I reckon you've got to do. Might makes right in Africa. We must just do what we have to do. I'm telling you. No, Pumi, we've got might makes right. That's how it works here. Chase says the UK is currently studying how South Africa implements load shedding. They will be going the same route due to gas supply issues from Russia. Oh, yes, that is true. But don't let the ANC tell you, oh, no, everyone on Earth is having load shedding problems, because it's a very
different... Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, I know. That's what he said the other day.
Mm-hmm. You know, just like stringing together all of the various sound bites of what happens during the course of the 7 days between mm-hmm. when we see each other, Gareth, I cannot believe that we're not like, we don't have whiplash. There's like so much going on.
Did you, speaking of this, did you see our favorite New Zealander, Jacinda the Horse Ardern, at the at the UN? She had the temerity to pitch up at the UN. She had some things to say. Do you want to hear what she said? Are you really interested? Because I know you have a suspicion about what it could be. Are you ready? Do you want to hear what she said?
Of course.
Okay, here she is. Here's Jacinda Ardern, everybody. Oh, no. Sorry. I need to give you the translation. Actually, no, here she is. All right.
Initiative alongside companies and nonprofits to help improve research and understanding of how a person's online experiences are curated by automated processes. This will also be important in understanding more about mis- and disinformation online, a challenge that we must, as leaders, address. Sadly, I think it's easy to dismiss this problem as one in the margins. I can certainly understand the desire to leave it to someone else. As leaders, we're rightly concerned that even the most light-touch approaches to disinformation could be misinterpreted as being hostile to the values of free speech that we value so highly. But while I cannot tell you today what the answer is to this challenge, I can say with complete certainty that we cannot ignore it. To do so poses an equal threat to the norms we all value. After all, how do you successfully end a war if people are led to believe the reason for its existence is not only legal, but noble? How do you tackle climate change if people do not believe it exists? How do you ensure the human rights of others are upheld when they are subjected to hateful and dangerous rhetoric and ideology?
Oh.
The weapons may be different, but the goals of those who perpetuate them is often the same: to cause chaos and reduce the ability of others to defend themselves, to disband communities, to collapse the collective strength of countries who work together.
Oh, God.
But we have an opportunity here to ensure that these particular weapons of war do not
become... I can't take much more of her. She is absolutely infuriated.
So, but you know...
Here's a person who shut down her whole country and locked everything up, and she's talking about collapsing communities? Here's a woman...
But you know what Jacinda gets right? You know what Jacinda gets right, and this is what gets her elected, is she shows up, unlike our president, who flew back home to have a Zoom meeting, right? So, and this is not the first time. This is not the first time that he like ducked. Mm. She shows up, and she speaks so convincingly. And she's got interest and variation in her voice. Because these are the things, right? These are
You mean that fake caring. Like, we've got to help.
That's okay.
We've got to help communities. And then she gets that sad, faraway look in her eyes of like, I'm here to help you because I know better. That stuff.
And
is that what you're talking
look
about?
Look where she is.
Well, Hitler was good. Hitler was good at that too. And I hate to do the comparing to Hitler thing, but yeah. I mean, this is a woman. Pumi, I don't believe, first of all, these people are the biggest hypocrites. People like her and Trudeau and Boris and God knows. I mean, they pick a leader in the world today. They're all fake as can be. And I've had enough of being lectured by people who have the worst track record imaginable. Jacinda Ardern, every single thing that has happened in New Zealand that is a result of her decisions has had to be turned around. She even had to admit the other day, all right, COVID, we overdid it. We're opening everything up. There was nothing we could do in the first place. Sorry about all those businesses we've ruined. Sorry about all that. I saw a thing yesterday on the news about how organ donation all over the world has dropped precipitously since COVID, which is unsurprising. When you put people into an absolute panic about their physical well-being, you tell them that there's this boogeyman and that you have to follow government's rules and blah, 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 blah. What do you think is going to happen? Of course they're going to say, oh, well, those kidneys, I'm not putting myself on the organ donor list because they'll come and harvest me. You've seen what government will do if you give them power. They'll lock down an economy. They'll shut you up in your house. They won't let you travel. So they might as well take your organs and harvest you. That's what people are thinking. That's what happens. Another unforeseen consequence of the kind of social engineering we were all party to over 2 years, thanks to morons like Jacinda Ardern. Fucking cheap.
All I'm saying is it's working for her. It's working for her.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, I don't think that in the long run, people like this are going to have that much support. I think people will see through it eventually. You know, like a bad actor in a movie. You eventually go, this is not believable. And also,
in the long run, we're all dead.
But also, you're comparing her to Cyril, which is like, you know, apples and oranges. Because
Gareth, you just compared her to Hitler.
I know. Apples and oranges as well. But I mean, who do we compare her to that's not a complete disaster? Well, who do we compare it to that's not a genocidal maniac? I mean, who should we be comparing her to? And this woman, it's also fake. I can't stand her, and I'm unashamed to admit it. Just one other quick thing. You know how I was very rude the other day about all those people who lined up to go and see the Queen lying in state? Well, someone sent me a clip.
You were rude about that. Okay, I missed that.
You remember I said all these people that they interview on TV that are waiting in the queue?
Oh, yes.
And I said they're such terrible people. Well, shame. I found this clip someone sent to me. And
even
This is unbelievable. All right, take a look at this guy. He's like a giant. So first of all, he's about 8 foot tall. He's got a big hairy, he's got like a half a beard going. And he's got his teeth in all the wrong places. And this is, and listen to how he sounds. He's a monster as well. I mean, he sounds like a monster. Are you ready? Not this first guy with the top hat on, just after him. Okay, listen to me.
Have you found out how long the queue is?
Here we go.
No, not yet.
So it's 9 hours until the front.
Is it?
So you'll have to wait, yeah.
How's that guy, huh?
No, not yet. Oh, is it?
Did you see what he looked like?
Gareth, stop it.
No, wait. We've got to watch it again. Listen to the voice.
Have you found out how long the queue is?
No, not yet.
So it's 9 hours until the front.
Is it?
You have to wait, yeah.
We're prepared to photograph the amount.
So I had to show you I was right. Terrible people in that queue. All right, take a big deep breath. Are you ready for some headlines, Pumi?
Jeez, we still have headlines to do.
I know.
Hey, what a busy morning.
It's a very busy morning. I've got lots of stuff for you. So first of all, Lizzo, who is the big fat singer that everybody is saying is so terrific, she played a 200-year-old flute that was owned by a former U.S. president. This is apparently a big story. U.S. star Lizzo wowed fans during a concert on Tuesday in Washington when she took to the stage to play a 200-year-old crystal flute once owned by former U.S. President James Madison. The singer trained flautist was granted permission by the Library of Congress to play the instrument, which arrived on stage with police escort. Inspecting it on stage, she said it is like playing out of a wine glass. And if you look at this picture, and again, you know how I feel about enormously fat, obese people, but I think even I am within my rights to say at this point, it looks like Lizzo wants to eat this thing. I'll show you a picture to prove my point. She,
I win.
Please pull me. And you know, if I were that flute, if the flute had feelings, I'd be terrified to be put near a mouth that has clearly eaten all the cakes. Look at this. She looks like she's about to eat it. There's no two ways about it. That flute should be
okay,
afraid.
Yes, she does.
She does, right? This is why you got to watch the show on YouTube, by the way, and like and subscribe. There we go.
She does.
She really does look like she wants to eat it. All right. Here's your favorite president, Cyril Ramaphosa, in the next headline. This is from IOL. He tells municipalities they are key in attracting investors for their cities. You want to handle this? They had a local government summit, okay? And he's reminded the country's local government sphere of how important it is in attracting the much talked about investors in their various localities. I mean, what chance does Mohali City have?
Have you noticed how much Cyril talks about money?
Mm. Mm.
Almost everywhere where you see Cyril.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about money.
Why do you think that is?
And I
why?
Because he needs 64 million randellas in his couches.
Mm-hmm.
But it bothers me. It bothers me on so many levels because there are so many other things that need leadership in this country, that need inspiration, that need thought, that really need to be thought about and kind of that need attention. And all Cyril pays attention to is money. All Cyril pays attention to is money.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very, very interesting observation. Very good. Good point. Just a quick thing here from Tracy. She says, from Corona's Boring. If Lizzo didn't lead all the rats or children out of town, I'm unimpressed after playing that flute, which is, I think, an interesting point, you know. Rusty says, what investors? Who's going to invest with criminals running our country? Look at Starlink. Yeah, that's a good point. Well put. What do we have to do to fast forward to the national elections? Well, I don't know that we want to even do that at this point. The Italian Prime Minister is my favorite, says Onkopotse. Yeah, she's getting a lot of attention. And I saw yesterday that apparently Google has removed her video. The famous video that's gone viral. Yeah, they've removed it because obviously, you know, Google's so impartial. I'm just sorry, my light keeps kind of going on and off. I don't know what the hell's happening here. Let me just see if I can get it working. It's not doing its job. Goddamn light. Come on, man. I sound like Joe Biden. Come on, man. You know how he says that all the time? Have you heard Joe? Come on, man.
No, actually, you sound a little bit like a, which they don't make too many of anymore, a Western. You sound like an old Western.
Mm, they don't do that. You're right. Derek also says, I smock that Italian Prime Minister. Yeah, she's definitely getting... Well, only because she is saying things that people have longed to hear for the longest time about family, about being a mom, about nations, about God, stuff that actually a lot of people who are conservative and have traditional values, and you've got to remember we live in quite a conservative country, where they're sick of hearing this global claptrap. They're sick of hearing from people like Jacinda Ardern. Instead, they'd like to hear from a woman like this. And I've noticed, by the way, this may be something you've noticed too, although she's the first Italian prime minister who's a woman, there was no fuss made of that in the media. No one said anything about how great it is that she's broken a glass ceiling. No one. Why? Because she's not a left-wing lunatic. If you're a left-winger, oh, they praise the hell out of you. You could be the first person with mousy colored hair in some job if you're a left winger and you'll get all the credit in the universe. But if you're a person who doesn't have left wing opinions, forget about it. They're not coming to congratulate you. No one in the media is coming to say, well done, Julia. just a quick footnote to throw in there. All right.
Well done, Julia.
Yeah. Germany and France are in talks with South Africa over a 10 billion rand loan to move away from coal. Oh, sweet Jesus. We have coal. Why must we move away from coal? And do you really think that if you give our treasury 600 million euros, they're going to put it into sorting out alternative fuel? Oh, no, they're not. They're going to steal and pocket that money straight away. This is a terrible idea.
Especially since, they're firing up their coal-fired power stations
again.
Correct.
Hypocrisy.
But who are they talking to about that loan? Who is taking that loan?
Who is taking those calls? Man, who's listening to this nonsense?
It's your man, Cyril.
He's not my man, Cyril, and I know he's not yours either, so okay. But let's look into it, right? Why is it that all these countries all over the world are not practicing what they preach? Because they're, of course, as you point out, firing up their own coal-powered stations. But they're so desperate to get everyone else, including us, off the coal. Why is that? You have to ask why. It's not because they care about the environment. They've done this already in Sri Lanka, and we know what happens. Look at what happened in Sri Lanka. That was because they forced that country to comply with all kinds of green agenda goals and targets. And what happened? It sunk the country into an economic death spiral and got the government kicked out. Now, I like the second part, but trust me, you don't want a revolution. What you want is some kind of peaceful transition. And that's not going to happen if we follow this stuff. All right. They also want our coal, which is a good point being made by Andy here. I think they do. I think they want it, and they want it cheap. So part of the deal would probably be you give us your coal so you don't use it, and we get to buy it off you cheap. SA's Lyft airline has expanded its services. Well, obviously, because there's no other airline. By the way, yesterday we talked about this. So who have we got at the moment, Pumi? We've got Air Link, we've got Lyft, we've got
Fly Safair,
and then we've also got Sem Air, which I think they only do a few routes. But
I don't know what Sem Air.
Sem Air is a thing. So apparently, while other airlines have seen their demise, South Africa's Lyft airline has expanded its services and will now offer flights between Joburg and Durban. They didn't do that before; they just did Cape Town. Bookings for the Joburg-Durban route went live last week, and the first flights are expected to start operating late next month with 3 return flights a day. That's terrific. Meanwhile, customers can expect booking dates for Cape Town-Durban to be confirmed in the coming weeks, with flights expected to start operating later this year. Very good news. Lyft's co-founder, Jonathan Ayash, explains that the Johannesburg-Cape Town offering is also expanding. So around 16 flights a day just from them. That's 8 returns.
Wow.
There is some short-term pressure, but that is primarily driven by the cost of fuel. Jet fuel has tripled since we launched in December 2020. If you fly last minute, then it is expensive, but the trick is to book as far in advance as possible because you get a very affordable flight if you book in advance. So good. Great news. More flights, cheaper flights, because the more options we have, the better. We know how capitalism works. Competitive, free market, the customer wins. Customer gets to choose. So good stuff all sorted there. Whew. Those are the headlines for this morning. Let me quickly tell you about what we have been doing every second Monday.
We're not talking about the new speaker in Joburg. You see, because I'm a Joburger. I'm so invested
Sorry. I left that
I'm
out.
So invested in the sagas of the Joburg.
All right. Well, let me refer to this. Yeah, you're right. Okay. So Cope have managed to proffer Colleen Makubele, who was on Wednesday afternoon elected as the new speaker of the Johannesburg City Council. The Congress of the People, which, I mean, I thought they weren't really a thing, but clearly they are. They've got.
You're concentrating, Gareth.
Who've they got? Colleen.
You're concentrating.
They got Colleen. They've got Mosiwa, and they've got Madisha, right? Willie Madisha.
Although if you were paying attention to the news cycle last week, Monday, they may or may not have Colleen, right? So there was quite a thing about, last week, Monday. Is she suspended or is she not? So there was a notice that she has been suspended because she was one of the people that voted to oust the last speaker.
Vasco da Gama.
And then there was she was one of the people that voted to oust him, and now she has his job. And then there was a notice that she's been suspended. And because of all of the things that are happening at COPE right now, guess what? Is she suspended? Is she not suspended? Then the Joburg region is saying, no, she's not suspended. She's still our girl. And now she is the speaker. Yep.
You see, this is why I just thought we could breeze past that one. But okay, now we know what a complete disaster it is. And that's great news for the people who live in Joburg, because, of course, we're interested in party politics. If you own property in Joburg, you live in Joburg, what you really care about is service delivery. But do you think that's their priority? Hell no. It's all about jockeying for power, proven yet again by the election or non-election of a speaker or non-speaker who may or may not be suspended because of dumb party politics. And all they care about is themselves. Damn it.
Pay attention.
All right.
Pay
so
attention, people.
Every second Monday, we do markets.com and Markets Mondays. So it's not just what you know, it's who you know that matters. We know this, right, Pumi? Wake up to a partner that you can trust with markets.com. They present Market Mondays twice a month on this show, a podcast that is dedicated to the discerning trader. They're providing insight into financial markets, the world of trading, and the usage of next-gen trading platform technology. If you haven't heard markets.com on the show, first of all, they have given our listeners a special bonus. So if you join up, you get some free money to spend. But you can also go and do anything there. You could trade in futures, derivatives. That's if you're really advanced. You can buy things like gold. You can buy shares on various exchanges all over the world. You could buy some crypto. They've pretty much got a one-stop shop for anything that you want to trade in. And I think it's a really cool place to learn. If you go in, you don't have to put a huge amount of money in. Who has a huge amount of money lying around, frankly? But go in, start up, learn if you can. They've got great resources. We've spoken to some of their partners as well who've told us about the things that they put into the system that allows you to make wise, sensible decisions about your money. And why not try? It's better than leaving it lying around or trusting people who you've trusted so far with it. We know how well that's worked out for some people. So go along and check it out on markets.com. We're taking you in a direction that we think that you should go in, and we're talking about everything to do with trading. You can hear it here first with markets.com. They'll be back again on the show next week. Okay, Mash Mashinini says, disagreeing with Sanele, do we need an international airline? Which is what Sanele said. It doesn't really serve us very well. SAA flights domestically were never really competitive with pricing. So what was the point besides funneling money into politicians? Well, that's all it was. You know, SAA used to keep, they used to keep two seats in first class on every flight just in case one of the ministers decided they wanted to go somewhere. You know that.
You know, somebody earlier in the show spoke about, in the comment section, spoke about how interlinked SAA and Eskom and Transnet even. Here's the thing, and I think we don't spend enough time kind of figuring, looking at how things work and how things are supposed to work.
Yeah.
And that's one of the, I think that's one of the things that the ANC got very wrong, is they just didn't know. They didn't know. So a whole lot of decisions were made to break things apart, whereas actually they, and this is what state-owned enterprises do, right, is they cross-subsidize each other. In a business, Gareth, you know this, right? So some areas of your business will make a profit, some areas of your business will make a loss, but overall, right, it becomes. And the thing about businesses like SAA and why the local flights were important is, part of that is also around, remember there was the Enyobeni Tavern and all of those samples, medical samples that needed to get to Cape Town. But because we don't have a national carrier and because the cost of sending samples from one part of the country to another part of the country or back to central forensics in Pretoria is so high, it took like 2 weeks because now they had to send it via courier on the road. And those are all of the things that are interlinked in the way that these things work.
Transnet, Metro Rail,
PRASA, all of those things
but
are interlinked.
Isn't it the job of the Minister of Public Enterprises to make those links work so that departments that are making a profit and departments that are making a loss can cross-subsidize each other? And also, Pumi, what department is making a profit at the moment? What have these ministers and these boards on the very – because I see they're changing ESCOM's board now. What have these people done that's worked? Point to just one. One. Oh, hang on. I'll wait, but we'll be here
that's
all
where
week.
I started. They didn't get it right. But this is the point to mash, you know, to understanding why these different components are all necessary. All the different components are necessary and why before they all used to live together so that they are under one oversight, you know. So,
Well, I'm not going to hold my breath and you shouldn't hold yours either. It's time for change. We've got to get these guys out. I'm afraid it's done now. Just one quick thing on the woke news. You know how I love a bit of woke news every week. Usually I save the woke news for Wednesdays, but I thought this is a good one. So Brad Pitt has announced the launch of his gender-neutral skincare line, which is called Le Domaine. It's named Le Domaine. The wine-inspired gender-neutral line is biodegradable and contains two patented ingredients. But most importantly, it's genderless. So Brad Pitt's decided he needs to get into the skincare business, and he's going to.
What does that mean, wine inspired?
It's bullshit. It's marketing, isn't it? It's just marketing. Do you buy this?
Although Brad Pitt does have great skin.
Well, if Tom Cruise launched a line, maybe I'd take it seriously. He has, you know, he's ageless. Something, I don't know what that guy's doing. Have you seen that Top Gun movie? He doesn't look like he's aged a day. And then one other thing.
Listen, when Kanejo said Top Gun, and he was, I was just like, this is unbelievable. All these many years later, for them to have been able to create this franchise that appeals to him today in the same way that it appealed to me then, all those many years ago when with the same star.
Right.
If somebody came to me and said he had actually sold his soul to the devil to get this level of
I would believe it.
Cross-generation appeal, I would be like,
yeah.
He needs to run a masterclass on how to find the said devil and sign over.
Oh God.
Sign over your soul. Where's the blood-soaked pen?
Right. I agree with you. Like they used to do in the mafia. They'd take a drop of blood and drop it on a picture of a saint and then burn the picture. That's how you join La Cosa Nostra. Oh, yeah. All right, so how's this? You found this, Pumi. This is fantastic. It's from The Visual Capitalist, which is one of the sites that you've told us about over and over again. It's an interesting look at population dynamics, and this is how the world will look when we get to 8 billion people. This is kind of a graphic
sometime
representation.
Sometime in November.
Right, correct. So it's just around the corner. So the red is Asia. The light blue is Europe. The dark blue is North America. The green is South America. The yellow-orange is Africa. And then that little purple piece is Australia. Is that right? I mean, you can't really see it in detail here, but it's amazing how China and India are enormous, right?
Look at that, China and India.
Well, China, they reckon
1.5 billion people, hey?
Yeah, China, 1.45 billion people. India, 1.41 billion people. Bangladesh coming in and Pakistan bringing up the rest of Asia. Also, Indonesia is worth noting at 280 million. Then if you look at North America, the U.S. has 335 million people, but that's in decline. In Europe, which they've included Russia in, I saw, despite Russia being pretty much in Asia. But, you know, they've always wanted to be in that sphere of influence, and they certainly are influencing that sphere at the moment. Russia is the biggest country population-wise in modern Europe at 116 million. Then we've got in South America, Brazil at the running at the front with 216 million. Africa is looking interesting because Nigeria has 218 million people, so it's the biggest country by population. But all of sub-Saharan Africa together is 307 million, which is interesting because they've included South Africa separately. We have obviously 64 million by their estimations. But if you take South Africa and Mozambique and the rest of sub-Saharan Africa, we are the biggest in Africa, which is interesting. And then, of course, they've got Australia, which is just like an afterthought. But that's more or less what the population of the world is going to look like. What do you think?
Isn't it? It is mind-blowing how – so one of the things that came up when I was reading this article is how the population 48 years ago, so about 50 years ago, mm-hmm. was only 4 billion, and it's doubled.
Yep.
It's like
– yep.
It's a lot of people.
A lot of people.
Breeding like rabbits here. Breeding like rabbits here, guys.
And that is, believe it or not, all we could squeeze into 1 hour. But my God, do you have a smorgasbord? Don't complain that there isn't enough to talk about this morning. When we come back, Phumlani Majozi and the Burning Platform. It'll be good to just catch up on all the news that we've missed out on. As Pumi said, you blink your eyes, 7 days go by, and everything has happened. So we will check in on everything. That's coming up next. Don't go away. CliffCentral.com.